we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Because I'm teaching at one of the sessions, I've asked Dawn Diaz to be your teacher tonight. So we're really excited to have her, and it's, come on down. Dawn Diaz, come on down. Woo!
Nuts. Good evening, ladies. How are you? Good. Good, good, good. All right. I'm excited to be here. This chapter is a chapter, chapter three is a chapter where Ruth is not mentioned at all. I mean, yeah, Esther either, yeah. That's true, two women aren't even mentioned. Oh my goodness, is this what happens at night? All right, well, we're going to look today about three men, three paths, three promises from chapter three. Did you get that? 333? All right. So let's look at Esther 3. First of all, we need to get a listing of the characters who are involved here. And so our first character is King Ahasuerus. He was the son of Darius the Great. He ruled the Persian Empire from 486 to 465 BC. He was the king of how many provinces? 127 provinces from Ethiopia to India. And he also was the ex-husband of Queen Vashti and the current husband of Queen Esther. This is where we're picking it up. He was also the sole owner of at least 100, possibly hundreds, of concubines. Just keep that in the back of your mind for a moment. And he was a man who seemed to drink a little bit too much. And for our purposes today, this is what he's going to look like. Okay, so King Ahasuerus was character number one. Character number two is Haman. Haman was called the enemy of the Jews. And for our intents and purposes today, he hated the Jews, and he looks like this. Mordecai was a Jew. His family were Jewish captives that were brought into the Persian Empire. He was the older cousin of Hadassah, or Esther as we know her. He cared for Esther when he was orphaned, which showed that he was a very caring kind of a person. And he followed Esther when she became queen. And for today, he is, looks like this, Mordecai. All right. So let's get into reading verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. After these things, let's stop right there. After these things, what things? Well, if you remember in the end of chapter 2, Mordecai overheard a plot to get rid of King Ahasuerus. He tells Esther, Esther tells King Ahasuerus. They go and get the guys, the plotters. They were hung, and it was recorded in the annals of the Medes and Persians, this event. Mordecai was not rewarded. He was not thanked. He was not anything. He was just, it was done. All right, so after those things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman. Who was the guy who did the plot? Wasn't that Mordecai? Okay, but Haman got promoted, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. All right, so let's start a little list. I'm a list kind of a person. So far, we know that King Ahasuerus liked to drink, and he apparently likes, I don't know if you can say that on recording or not, but he had a lot of women, all right? So that's what we know about him. We also know about Mordecai that he was a caring person. He was faithful to his family, which included Esther, and he was wise. He was very wise. All right, so how many moms here or people you have gone out of your way to do things for people? You've done the laundry, you folded it, you put it back in the drawers, you folded the socks, you have done the dishes, you have changed the sheets, and nobody said a word. Nobody said, thank you. Oh, Kathy, me too. Two of us. You've never been thanked, have you? All right, well, here's the first thing I want us to consider. Rewards are not always immediate. But man may not see, but God sees it all. Would you agree with me there? God sees and rewards faithful service. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Okay, so according to verses 1 and 2, Haman was the one who was promoted. Haman was advanced. The king, his seat was set above all his peers. The king commanded everybody to bow down to Haman, and all the king's servants bowed, and all paid homage. And homage means that you show special honor or respect. And in the historical meaning of it, it was a formal public acknowledgement or allegiance. So when these people were bowing down, it wasn't just, you know, a fancy curtsy or something. It was, I am honoring you. I am giving my allegiance to you. So perhaps that's why Mordecai would not bow down. So let's add to our list that Ahasuerus had no logic at all. Mordecai had done the good deeds. Haman was promoted. Doesn't make any sense. And Haman was prideful. He wanted everybody to bow down to him. Mordecai was principled and courageous. He didn't bow. He didn't pay homage. He was just wise. Let's read verses 3-6. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? Now it happened when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. So why would Haman be so angry with Jews? Well, let's look for a moment. He was probably a descendant of King Agag, the Amalekite, who was a longtime arch enemy of God and the Jews. And you know that the Jews were God's chosen people since a long time ago. So God told Samuel, who was a Jew, to tell King Saul, who was a Jew, to go kill King Agag and all the Amalekites. Well, unfortunately, Saul disobeyed. He killed a bunch of people, but he kept King Agag alive, and the people kept all the best of all their livestock so that they could sacrifice to the Lord. But in doing that, he disobeyed God. And Samuel confronted Saul, and Saul lost his kingdom because of this disobedience. So the Amalekite king Agag was killed, and the Jews were taught then throughout history that the Amalekites were very, very cruel. And history tells us that King Agag, whenever he came in contact with a Jew that was under his power, he would dismember them. That is not a very nice guy. So he would mutilate the bodies of any of the Jews that he came in contact with. So perhaps the Jewish Mordecai recalled the teachings that he was taught as a young boy about the enemies of the Jews. And perhaps Haman hated the Jews because of the situation with Saul, King Saul. So anyway, the servants ask Mordecai daily. Mordecai is not going to change. He's not going to bow. He's not going to show allegiance to this hater, this enemy of the Jews. So, you know, the guys tell Haman, Mordecai is true to his conviction. So here's the second thing to consider. It's never right to do what's wrong, and it's never wrong to do what's right. So in Mordecai's case, it was never right to do what's wrong, which would be to bow down to the enemy of the Jews, and it was never wrong to do what is right, to stand for what is right and good. Psalm 106:3 says, "There is joy for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right." So Haman learned Mordecai was a Jew. Haman saw with his own eyes that Mordecai wouldn't bow. He was filled with wrath. Now, wrath is a little bit different than anger. Wrath is strong, vengeful anger. So it's past being angry. It's being so angry that you want to physically hurt somebody. That's wrath. So he was filled with wrath. And Haman didn't want to destroy just Mordecai. He wanted something that would be worse. And so he wanted to kill all the Jews in the kingdom. So how big was the kingdom? It was 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. So all that's inside the blue area, that is what the Persian Empire controlled at this point in time. That's a lot of people living there, and a lot of them were Jews. So back to the chart. So King Ahasuerus likes wine and sex. He's not logical. Haman is prideful. Mordecai is caring, faithful, wise, principled, courageous. And we're going to add full of wrath to Haman, anti-Semitic. We'll talk about that in a second. And power hungry. He wanted people to bow to him. And so anti-Semitic, as you probably know, is hostility or prejudice against and discrimination against Jews. And that's been going on for many, many years. And many rulers have hated Jews. Even today, there's people that want to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. So this was who Haman was. All right, so let's read verse 7. Now, in the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman, to determine the day and month, and it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. All right, so it seems that Haman was into astrology because he wanted the best day when they could kill the most Jews and be most beneficial. He didn't want just any day. He wanted the day that would show the greatest annihilation. That's a yes. The greatest annihilation. And so we're going to add to Haman. He was an occultist. He went looking to the astronomy, to occult, to find the right day. Not a good combination. Girls, don't do that. All right, verse is 8 through 11. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries. So the king took off his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money and the people are given to you. You do with them as it seems good to you." So Haman had the ear of the king, and he says, hey, there's certain people, they're like different. They don't even, you know, they're not like us at all. In fact, they don't even obey your laws. So Haman was making a false accusation. So different plus a lie. In Haman's idea, it was just kill all the Jews. Anybody who is different, these Jews are different. They obey other laws. Yeah, they obey God's laws. He lied, said, they don't even obey you, which is, the scripture doesn't say that at all. And so he decided there would be death to all. And then he says, it's not fitting to let them live. If it pleases the king, you know, what was Ahasuerus thinking? I don't think he was thinking at all. So here's a king. He didn't even know who some of the people were in his kingdom. And yet he was the king. But maybe it was the bribe that caught Ahasuerus' eye. 10 talents, or was it 10 talents? About 10,000 talents equals about $280 billion to go back into the king's treasury. In today's, 2012, it would have been $1 trillion. That's a lot of money. And if you know anything about King Ahasuerus, his father, Darius the Great, was the one who thought he was going to capture Greece. They had a big battle, the Battle of Marathon. Darius had to come home. He technically lost the battle. King Ahasuerus, before Esther came on the scene, he went to battle to go finish it with the Greeks and try to get them under control. And he wasn't successful. So that cost a lot of money. Here's a big temptation. This man says, let's get rid of the different people, the ones who don't even obey you, and I'll give you $280 billion. That's probably a big enticement, I would think. And then he gives him his signet ring. Now, a signet ring was a ring that had the emblem of the king on it. Whatever, it could be a coat of arms, it could be numerous things. But the king had the one and only one. And in a day where most of the people were illiterate, they couldn't read, to know that this document was official, he would take wax, you know, make a little blob, put the ring in it. You had the seal of the king. People knew that that was authentic. So he takes off his ring and he gives it to the enemy of the Jews. Very, very sad. All right, so let's go back to a little chart. All right, we're going to add over on King Ahasuerus. He had bad advisors, he was uncaring, and he was reckless, giving away his power and just not even thinking. So verses 12 through 15, then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded. So the king is not even saying anything. It's what Haman is saying. So the king's satraps, the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all the people, to every province according to its script, to every people in their language. So if there's 127 provinces, there's a lot of different languages, a lot of different dialects. No, dialects. There might be derelicts, but they might be different. I don't know. Anyway, there's a lot of languages that these people have to write this new law in. And then it was sealed with the king's signet ring, 13, And the letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces to destroy, kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. And a copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. And the couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman, what did they do? They sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. So remember that the law of the Medes and Persians was such that once the law was sealed, it was a done deal, you could not change it. Even the king himself could not change it. So another reason why you would think that Ahasuerus would want to think before he acts. So the new law said on this certain day, all the Jews should be killed. Now, who should they be killed by? All the non-Jews. It's not like the army is going to go in and wipe them all out. You would be killing your neighbor if your neighbor was a Jew. The people were given the authority to go kill every single Jew. That's a dark time. John 10:10 says, the thief, who is Satan, does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. Doesn't that sound like this verse? To kill, to annihilate, to plunder. Jesus said, though, that I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So what we want to see for right now is that Satan seemed to have be in control of the situation right now. It was a very dark hour for the Jews. So the letters were sent by couriers. They went out to all the 127 provinces, all over the most of the known world at that time. And this law was sealed. The people could see the king's seal. And that was the king. That was the ruler. That's what his will was. And what did they do? The king and Haman sit down and drink. All right, so the deed was done. He didn't have that care in the world. The king didn't care what was going on in his kingdom. He was with his buddy, his drinking buddy. All right, so what else can we consider about this? Here's number three. God sees and is in control, even when we don't see it. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So thinking of this chapter, it seems very bleak. We've got three different kinds of men and three different paths. So what happened to these men? First of all, King Ahasuerus had issues with too much wine and sex. He showed no logic in his choices. He listened to bad advice. He was uncaring to those he was supposed to protect, and he was reckless with his power and duty. He was assassinated. He was assassinated by the general of his bodyguard in 465. That's why his rule ended on that year. So he was assassinated. Haman was full of anger, prideful. He was full of anger for anyone who got in his way. He was anti-Semitic. He hated the people of God. He was power hungry at all costs, and he sought help from the occult for wisdom. What happened to him? He was hanged. We haven't gotten to that place yet, but he was hanged on the gallows that he built to hang Mordecai on, which happened to be, anybody know how big they were? 80. Were you here this morning? 50 cubits high. That is, I cannot believe it myself, 70 to 85 feet tall. You think he wanted everybody to see how wonderful he was? He was going to hang Mordecai on it. Lo and behold, he ends up hanging from it. I thought that was very interesting. All right, and then we have Mordecai. He was caring towards Esther and others. He was faithful to her. He was wise, and he thought of the outcome and sought the best for his family and for his nation, the Jews. He was principled and chose what was right and stuck with it. He was courageous, and he followed through with what was right, and he stayed the course. And what was the outcome for him? He was blessed. He was blessed by God, and we'll see later on in the book of Esther how what the king does for him. So Ahasuerus assassinated, Haman is strung up, hung by on the gallows. He was hung, and Mordecai was blessed. All right, so King Ahasuerus was all about present pleasure. That was like his whole life. Drink, women, my drinking buddies, I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm the king, yay me. It was all about what was happening right now. Isn't that like the world and the flesh? I think we kind of live in those days. Haman, on the other hand, was about pride, power, and prejudice. Power and prejudice. He was all about wanting people to bow down, for him to be the highest. I am the best. The king loves me the best. That's what he, and I don't even like these people, and I'm going to wipe them all out. He was different than King Ahasuerus, but he was prideful, powerful, power hungry, and prejudiced, and he was like Satan himself. I will arise. I will be higher than the God Almighty. I will raise myself up. Mordecai, on the other hand, is about protecting his people, about following God's path. So we'll take a little vote. How many would like to be about King Ahasuerus? Raise your hand if you want present pleasure. Is that a hand? Oh, no. Anybody? Okay, good. We'll cross it out. How about power and prejudice? You want to be powerful? Nope. Okay, cross it out. How about protecting the people and following God's ways? Yay! All right, so consider. Here's the three things we wanted to consider. Remember, we consider three men, three paths, three things to consider, three promises. Remember, rewards are not always immediate, but God does reward. And we will be rewarded for the things that we have done for the Lord and done it with a right heart as we have done it as unto the Lord. Two, it's never right to do what's wrong, and it's never wrong to do what's right. And then three, God sees and is in control, even today, with all the fear and the toilet paper snatching, God is in control. And the promises that go with that is Colossians 3:23 through 24, whatever your hands find to do. There's joy for those who do things that are right, and a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his paths. So, with all that said, what will you choose today? I would say, let's be a Mordecai. So be a Mordecai. Bam! Yes, be a Mordecai. So when you see bam, that's going to remind you, be a Mordecai. Be about God's path. Be about doing things that are right. Standing up when it's hard to stand up. Being a witness. Because that's the kind of person that God's looking for to do his power in. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you are in control. Lord, we want to be like a Mordecai. We want to stand firm in the convictions that we have, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power that you give us. Lord, you have great and wonderful things for us, Lord. You position these men to be in the place that they're at. You purposely positioned Esther to be there. And Lord, you put Mordecai there too, to be a witness to us. So Father, thank you for that. Bless our time as we talk about the questions and the homework. And we just love you, God. And we thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.